This is for the nerds, this is for the brainiacs, this is what we deserve. Go ahead and play it back, you ain't gonna touch me, you not gonna do nothing, you are not above me, I bet you wish you was me, I know it, I know.
What is poppin', everybody? And welcome back to another special episode of the Only Friends Podcast. Well, you know, it's me and my only friends, which includes, but is not limited to, the Tortua!
Perky's not here, so we getting poppin', baby! Woo!
Tortoise, you lied to me. Tortoise.
Yes.
I just realized you lied to me.
I did?
Tortoise, you lied to me.
I'm sorry.
When you got off the boat, you said you were going to go get something, and you didn't come back with them.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God, you did.
Tortoise.
I'm supposed to get another one of these.
What the fuck, bro?
Sorry, I was drunk. I was in no shape at all to be buying, purchasing, really doing anything.
This is true. This is true.
But you are getting in shape.
I am getting in shape. Trying.
Blah. What's poppin', Melissa? How you feeling today?
I'm good.
That's cool. That's cool.
All it took was a little Jaffy pissing you
She's
off.
She's actually there. It's not an empty chair.
Yeah, you know, normally when I do this, we're talking to an empty chair, but she showed up today. She actually gave a thumbs up to one of the messages earlier, so I knew she was coming.
I know.
Today.
I did that so you guys would know that I was awake.
Landon, can I have my 25 push-ups? What's going on about that?
Yeah, you'll get those at some point.
All right,
you still actually, everybody on this podcast still owes me push-ups.
All right, I'll do them right now. I'll do them fucking right now.
I don't need them now. It was from a bet that we made where
I didn't do it right away.
It was a last longer.
I didn't do it right away.
It was a last longer.
You might have.
Okay.
You might have been the one. Well, the way it worked was it was like a certain amount of push-ups in the push-up pool.
Yeah.
And I gave Matt 100. He still hasn't done the 100.
I feel like I've done mine.
You see, yeah. you remember this, right?
It's from Florida, right? The Florida tournament.
Right. Yeah. It was the Florida main.
Yeah.
But regardless, you know. I still get my 25.
I owe you 25.
Because, you know, you can't remember if I did mine or not, so that's all. It's a wasp, baby. Mm-hmm.
Brian stole me some small, I think.
Oh, shit. Pay up,
Brian. But he'll do them right now. He said it.
Air push-ups.
Slowly becoming the fittest person on the podcast.
The tortoise?
Slowly but surely.
The tortoise? Slowly.
Consistently.
You ever seen the shell of a tortoise? It's fucking hard.
Yeah.
Just like my abs.
More P90X.
We got no Berkey today. He is playing the 100-100 game at Bellagio, but we do have Pip. Sorry you can't see her. Melissa showed up. It's kind of unfortunate because we were going to give Pip the camera.
You're getting one or the other. You're getting Melissa or Pip.
Yeah. Either way, you get a dog.
I could
have
held her.
She's such a good girl. She's late. All right. We got a bunch of shit to talk about today. Not really, but, you know, we're going to figure some shit it out. We're going to talk about some shit.
Jesus, man.
So
he's stimming.
Stimming.
He's stimming hard.
Straight stimming.
It's that fucking giant coffee next to you.
It's the juice, yeah.
So
it's
the juice. We actually haven't set it up for who's cooking, but this young lady is cooking. Matt Glantz's daughter. Matt Glantz put out a tweet yesterday. He says, "Please have your young children follow my 19-year-old daughter. Nothing better than having young girls and boys having strong, independent women to look up to. Avery is doing big things." So apparently, I've seen this, like, she's been doing on, like, Ninja Warrior and stuff like that, and she is absolutely crushing it.
Wait, that was her? I saw that on my reels, like, just, like, scrolling through, did it?
Yep.
Unfortunate news.
Oh.
The juice?
Did you say yes?
Alien. You think I wasn't gonna just say yes?
Yeah.
So apparently he passed away of prostate cancer, I believe.
That's right, yep.
Unfortunate.
The real killer.
Unfortunate.
We're never going to find the real killer now. He was out there on the hunt, and he just, you know.
It was an exhausting search.
It was. It killed him.
I know. It truly did.
Jesus. The search killed him.
Turtle's cooking today.
Was there any other, like, I'm only basically talking to you and Guapo. Well, Guapo, I'm not even sure ever watched football, so I'm only talking to you. Was there anybody as exciting as he was back in that time?
Like, Walter Payton.
Yeah,
was Walter Payton.
He was that dude.
Oh, yeah?
He was that dude.
He was really good.
He was cool and cooking.
So no
he won the Heisman.
People believed him and stuff. Because they were like, oh, legend.
Yeah, he's the best.
Absolute madman.
Where do you go to school?
USC. Southern
really?
Cal. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Went to Southern Cal, won the Heisman, got drafted by the Bills. crushed it there for a while, and then killed a couple people.
Jesus. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
In game.
Allegedly.
We don't really know.
Well, I mean, he was acquitted, so.
Well, you know, apparently didn't do it. You know something quite interesting now, right? There's going to be multiple people on the internet saying that they had a conversation with this man.
Oh, for sure.
And they're going to say that this man
confessed to them.
Or it just has to be, right?
Like, or, yeah, for sure.
It just has to be. He'll be all over. The conversation will be all over Las Vegas locally in like 3 hours. Mm-hmm. Some bartender at fucking Red Rock or something.
Las Vegas locally had a base tweet today. They just tweeted out. It was just OJ with a picture like with two like attractive women. And it was just like Summerlin resident passes away.
Summerlin resident. Yeah.
He was all over the place. Still that man everywhere in Vegas.
Yeah, right. He was out and about. He still loved the spotlight, the limelight, you know. People would come up to him, ask for autographs. He would always, you know. He just loved the attention, obviously.
Yeah. So probably every time someone went up to him, they were like, did you do it?
I want to know, like, I mean, obviously I don't know. That's a touchy question. You're walking up to somebody that might be a stone fucking cold killer that got away with it. And you're going to say, did you do it?
People don't have awareness. They probably would just do it anyway, you know?
I don't even think Landon would do that shit.
So, like, between you and me, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell anyone.
Like, you don't think a drunk guy, like, asked him
100%.
That?
Oh, for sure.
He spent a lot of time in, like, bars and stuff. Yeah. I know that for sure.
I mean, some people probably didn't even ask. They just told him. Like, you did it. Like, I know you did it.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, man.
That's got to be, like, one of the weirdest situations ever, man. Like, because he's just in public all the time.
Did anybody read his book?
If I did it.
Did you read it?
No, but I mean, apparently he wrote a book like, if I did it, this is how I would. I didn't do it because if I would have did it, this is how I would have did it.
What he should have done was.
It's pretty sick. Wow. All right, moving on. We got some other news. Jesse Lonis, he's fucking doing it.
Killing it.
You can't stop him. He keeps putting like this little gorilla emoji on his fucking the end of his tweets. And you know what?
There's always more than one gorilla.
Listen, I'm here for it. Fucking Gorilla Lonis.
He is an animal.
There, fucking crushing souls.
Gorilla Lonis.
He wins his third PGT title, winning the 10K for I think it was like 250,000 or something along those lines.
252, 450.
And if that wasn't enough. My man is 4 of 7 playing today for, I think it was another PGT 10K.
Yeah.
232.
No, he's just out there. He's doing the goddamn thing.
He's a Phil player, isn't he?
He's a fucking Lonis player. That's what he is. Goddamn goat.
He's out there just.
Sorry, not the goat. Goddamn gorilla. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Gorilla Lonis.
Yeah.
What's popping? He's just crushing it, man.
He was sitting next to me the whole time on the Prime. And, I outlasted him. So does that mean.
That means you're better than him. Way better. Yeah.
You sent a picture of him and said.
Does anyone know who this is?
Mucho aggro.
Sorry to this man.
He was very aggressive.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you had the best seat at the 1100.
Thanks.
Gorillas are pretty aggressive.
Gorillas are aggressive.
Silverback.
They can be.
You know.
Yeah.
Get it popping.
Right. Don't want to get on their bad side.
Nah. Then you get shown the ace eight and you fold ace king. Sorry, Bucky.
Oh yeah, I remember that. This was like last year.
That was like 2 years ago, I feel like.
A while ago, yeah.
That was an interesting hand.
Yeah.
All right, we got some other shit. David Lappin wrote an article today on Landon's website, the VegasSlotsOnline.com.
Landon's website?
Yeah, Landon's website.
You made that website, Landon?
Yeah.
Landon's, you know.
Wow, I didn't know you were the founder of Vegas Slots Online.
Did I?
He's a shill for all that is slots in Vegas.
You know what? You still owe us a high-stakes slot stream.
What do you mean Griffin did it? Griffin played a slot tournament on the cruise.
No, but you owe us a slot stream. Speaking of stimming. Of some online D-Gen slots.
It's true.
I think you should probably do, like, a collab stream with DePaulo now that he's... and kick streams for stake. We'll count that.
Get
you
know, in
since
there.
You don't want to do your own standalone one.
Get me in there with DePaulo.
Yeah.
Okay.
You really need to. You owe it to the people.
Do some bonus hunting.
Whatever. Is that, you know,
he's like, I'm opening 60 bonuses tonight.
Mm-hmm. Are you an AP?
Honestly, I've played slots like a couple times, but yeah, as an AP.
Yeah.
Like, oh, like, I don't really know how this works, and I was kind of curious.
But I have an edge, so
not
click,
that I,
click the button.
Not that I was going to, like, actually go out on my own in the world and, like, try to do it. More so, like, how does this work?
Mm-hmm.
And it does
about
work.
Being an AP?
Yeah. It works.
Should we start doing it as a collective?
Nope.
Conrad, you were doing that a little bit.
I'm out. I'm going to sleep. I'm out. Well,
you're
nothing to do
with
this conversation.
With
Conrad's kitchenware.
Yeah, that's how Conrad we have all of our kitchenware.
Pretty sure Conrad was awake for about a month and a half straight.
I'm out. Oh, yeah. Want nothing to do with this shit. Like, anyway,
hold
back
on
to
a second. Hold on a second. Since we're talking about degenning,
yes,
I want everybody in chat
what's
to
this?
Screenshot this. if you want to make some money this weekend,
oh shit,
and right sign here. Up for Guapo's paid group.
Yeah,
there's a plus money on there. There's Oliver.
Watch out,
plus
money.
So Guapo has been fucking screaming from the hilltops. Charles Oliveira plus +185.
I trust Guapo.
+185 is
a great
bet.
I don't know anything, but I'll trust Guapo.
Who is he fighting?
Charles Oliveira.
You know, we're going to get the breakdown. Sorry, Lappin. Yeah. Your article's next.
Let's get the breakdown.
Because if I'm going to do a breakdown, I actually want to do one.
You are. We're doing it. Go down your list. Talk to us, baby.
Put it this way. Charles Oliveira against anyone at 155 at +185 is a great bet. And that's against anyone in that division.
Okay, now who's he fighting?
Some scrub.
What's his scrub's name?
I forgot his name.
Oh, my God. He doesn't even know he's fighting.
But it doesn't matter.
Sounds good.
So this guy has to be like undefeated or something, man. He has to
just
be popping.
Charles Oliveira +185.
Why is he the underdog?
Yeah, why
that's a good
he?
Question.
Like 185 is a lot in UFC.
He's the underdog versus some unknown man.
Yes. Oh, he's not unknown. He's like on a 6-fight win streak.
Who's he fighting?
I'll bet.
He's fighting
his
Armand.
His name is Armand Sarukian.
Sarukian.
Yeah.
All right.
He sounds like he's from Dagestan. I'm scared.
Yeah,
that
the Russian
little,
guys are
that
to be
is
feared.
Slightly scary. I wish he had a different last name, like Johnson or something.
You said he sounds like he's from Dagestan?
Like, well, Dagestan.
Does that mean you got that dog in him?
You got that dog in him.
Like Khabib and the Bears.
You don't bet against people from Dagestan. That's just one thing you've learned.
He's Armenian
learned.
Russian.
Yeah, that's pretty
Oh, that's
scary.
Fine. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Trains with
why,
Bears.
That's, Armenian's fine?
Yeah, I mean, it's not.
Yeah, they're
it's
pretty
not,
savage, no?
As long as it's not from Astan, we're good. You know, Kazakhstan, Dagestan,
yeah,
Aristan, any stans?
Aristan?
I'm out. Shut up, Guapo.
Aristan, like science fiction lands.
All right, running back. So we have this article from Lappin basically stating that there was a main event in Malta, I want to say it was, and the Aces and Kings were getting marked.
Oh, boy.
Yikes.
Basically, the article states that there was Aces and Kings marked at least 8 times. A new dealer came in, was instructed to examine every card as she retrieved them from a player, and a player was caught red-handed within two hands with the new dealer. The cheater only received a one
wow.
orbit penalty from
that's
the floor person.
That's insane.
What?
So
where was this?
This, I believe, was in Malta. It's the Battle of Malta.
That's
so.
Insane. So, one orbit?
One yeah. orbit.
Might as well, everyone just might as well cheat with that penalty.
Yeah. So I have a question.
That's like as bad as like killing two people and getting no jail time.
Jesus
right?
Christ. All right, so I'm going to go around the room real quick. If you were the floor person here, what are you?
I will contact yeah. the authorities.
I'm calling yes. the police.
What about you, Lamanna?
What would I do? Yeah, I would definitely.
Should we cut his fingers off too?
I mean, I would definitely
You'll
get
You'll never mark a card again.
Like, because like that, if you're caught red-handed cheating, isn't that a crime?
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if
so
it
then,
is in the poker yeah. industry. Like,
yeah.
if it
I
is,
I mean,
he
would immediately be removed from the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then it would be well made well known who this person is, what he did, and
oh, you're going like public execution.
Yeah,
all
right. Right. Of course. Why would I not?
I can see that.
Yeah. Public excommunication.
Mm-hmm.
Lando, what are you doing?
Like, this guy's just stone caught. There's evidence. Like,
stone caught.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. DQ'd plus banned from premises.
You'll never
yeah,
work
banned,
in this town again.
For sure.
Just
yeah, you'll never
sure.
work in this town again, and you're not gonna have
you
any
fingers. You
definitely
have to get banned,
either.
Right?
Like, we publicly cut his fingers off.
I don't know about all that. That seems like
metaphorically.
A lot.
No.
No, publicly.
Literally.
Are you going to do it? Are you going to take a saw? And just
not me, but I'll have someone else do it.
Okay. I say
this didn't take place in Saudi Arabia.
Like,
hold
on
one second. One second. What did you say, Guapo?
You have to publicly look at his Google search. Like, you just put it up for everybody. I mean, that would be pretty bad.
Speaking of that, the other day I was looking at the Saw for Y Google, and I went to go hit the search button, and it just comes up boy math, girl math.
Why did he try and play it off like that wasn't him?
Fergie
Who
tried
else
to,
would it be?
Fergie tried to play it off like it wasn't him.
He was like, oh, well, actually, I'm on my... It's like, but who else would it be?
Right, and he said girl math on the show.
Yeah.
Like, I know, because I told him he was like using it wrong, and so I know he looked it up after, and, he tried, and then he tried to play it off.
What is the true definition?
I don't know, but there's no definition, but when you only use like girl math, or like it's like if I only used boy math when a boy was being retarded, but I never used. Sorry, I'm not allowed to say that. Or, am I allowed
we're
now?
So
is it, are
no,
we back?
No, 2024. We're fine.
We're back.
We're so back.
But it's basically like the. It's like girl math is when shipping's free if you add on $20 more. But so you add it. It's like stuff like that, and then boy math is like. Something to do with fucking, you know, like parlays or
whatever. I feel like boy math is more so like Matt and I kind of talked about this and it made sense to me. Like I could, when I say I can beat a gorilla in a fight, you know, like something absolutely insane.
Yeah, but that's not like math.
So it's like logic based though, right? So, I can have a reason why I can win, right? Like it's sleeping. I'm gonna come around it and like strangle it. Like I can win.
Let me
you
find
know,
a boy
this
math
weekend.
Example.
So this weekend, apparently it was like circle day at Target, and Michelle went and came home with all these bags. She's like, yeah, everything was 30% off.
Yes.
Yeah. She's like,
that's girl math.
It's basically free.
She but got, then when like, you use it, if a girl is being like dumb and it's like girl
there was
math,
like random
then it's
stuff.
Kind of like, okay. Well.
Yeah. There was like random stuff. I'm like, what is this? What are we going to do? She's like, I don't know, but it was 30% off. I'm like, okay.
30% off is basically free.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
Okay. Here's a funny one. Boy math is paying $44 billion for a $25 billion company. And through business smarts and entrepreneurial know-how, turning it into an $8.8 billion company. Boy math.
Yeah.
It's just like stuff with numbers that is like kind of gendered.
Yeah. Gotcha. All right.
Rolling back. I personally agree with Lamanna. This person should be kicked off the premises, never allowed back in. And I guess we go to Twitter with something like this or some type of forum.
Yeah, I mean, a one orbit penalty is like... so nuts. Like, who decided that person should be banned?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Their finger should be
cut. That person had a piece.
That person probably had a piece. They should be looked into because it's probably an inside job if they only give a one orbit penalty.
Yep. Quite honestly, I agree with you.
Like, that's insane. Like, that it's not even, you can't even be like, that's from inexperience. Like, it's not even an inexperience thing. That's just like, okay, something's going on.
Not that it matters, but do we know how he was marking the cards?
I'm
fingernail
not,
probably.
I think it's fingernail, but I'm not 100%.
What did I saw the article link. What did the TDs have to say? Do we know?
What do you mean?
Lappin asked 3 TDs what they would do.
Oh, actually, I do not have that. Hold on.
Click the link.
Click.
I'm calling the police.
Call the police. Somebody right get them the fuck out
I
of here.
I have them on the line.
It's one of those things, right, where you have to kind of figure out what the correct punishment is for the crime, and clearly one orbit is insane.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like if it was a one orbit penalty, there's going
to
be people that, if they know
to,
this, they're just going
to
do it.
You need to set a precedent. Like, because that just makes it worth it to cheat, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're gaining, like, infinite...
EV. If the legit penalty in the world for getting caught for this would be like something insane, like death penalty, no one would do it. No.
Yeah, I do feel like if you called the police, they would come and just like laugh.
They'd be like,
"So what happened?" Okay, well we got
to
go investigate this murder down the street.
I need backup.
So.
There's a Bronco. Yeah. There's a Bronco flying down the highway. We gotta go. no, but seriously, like I think that it's really fucking weird that you only get a one orbit penalty for something like that.
Yeah, it's an inside job. 100%.
So they literally saw him like digging his nail into the...
I guess.
Well, they were retrieved. The dealer was told to look at every card. And as setups got changed out, she was retrieving cards and just noticed that there's marks.
Oh, gotcha.
It happened. Yeah. It's said a ton of times in this instance. And then the quote was, if it happens again, we'll take action. Well, it happened enough times.
What do you mean? Once take action the first time.
Once is probably enough. If it was like if they
could you imagine
knew,
stabbing someone and then a cop says, "Hey, listen,
I'll take action
next time. Don't do that again, or there's gonna be consequences.
Just don't do that
take
again.
Action next time."
Yeah, but like if there was enough evidence or they knew enough, you know, to like actually have a punishment for the person, which was the one orbit penalty, then it's just you should just been removed from the tournament immediately.
The common sense. I mean, this is why this reeks to me.
I think that it's really weird because like this person doesn't even get like publicly shamed. Like this article comes out, but we have no idea who this
we
person is.
We wouldn't have even known if like the article.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just like this. It's person A. We still don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't know who it is. So it's kind of.
I think this is. I also think this is a very common thing that happens in live poker.
What, like marking cards and
yeah,
shit?
Yeah, yeah. Because, like, if you, like, when I'm playing, I always see, like, and I don't know if it's just people, like, the way they lift their cards, but I'm, like, it would seem like it would take a lot to, like, really indent the card.
To be fair, I don't really look for it. I probably
should. But, like, sometimes I just notice that, like, and I'll say, like, that card looks like it, like, has a mark on it. And, like, you can just see the indentation.
Sometimes it has a little rip.
Thing. Yeah. Yeah, if it's ripped, but you can feel that right away, then then it's like they just
okay. So I found it. So the three people that are TDs that got, I guess, asked the question: Nick O'Hara, Glenn Doyle, and Matt Savage. Okay. Nick O'Hara says, "If I can prove that he was purposely marking kings and aces, and I would DQ him. However, this is difficult to prove without doubt unless he admits it. Since he's definitely been caught marking at least one card, I'd give him a 3-round penalty straight away and warn him if he does it again. He gets DQ'd and banned from future events." Glenn Doyle says he'd pull the guy aside and tell him he believes he's marking cards. Every dealer is instructed to check the cards. If one of them is marked again, then he'd be DQ'd with no refund. Huh. But it's like, I guess part of it is you've already found out.
So maybe the problem was that they weren't fully sure. Yeah, like you know, they didn't have hard, concrete evidence that this guy was actually doing
well,
this.
Well, I mean, from what the article says...
They should be glad
says,
I'm not TD, because those were way less harsh than mine.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, like, from what the article says, like, basically, they caught him within two hands of the dealer being instructed to look at every single card that comes to her way.
Yeah, Savage says he'd remove him because a warning was already issued and feel that the need to set an example for the unacceptable behavior and Stone minimum punishment would be a 24 to 48 hour ban from the venue.
Lifetime. And you have to work in the basement. Whatever they do.
I think
there.
The warning for sure makes it like, okay, like we very clearly want to set a good precedent for doing something that you're not supposed to do when it comes to gaining EV versus everybody else. And you clearly didn't care about that and thought like, what are you gonna do, ban me? I'm gonna do that. Ban. Goodbye.
Well, we got somebody in the muck.
Him.
We go into Guapo.
What happened?
The tortilla in the muck.
Yeah, it's me again.
The tortilla and the tortilla.
The tortilla. Tortilla and the tortilla.
My double T's. What's popping?
Okay, all what right. do we got here, Guapo?
We're on the 50 cent dollar streets, guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're.
Take a look here. I mentioned to Landon that this isn't a full open for me from the hijack. It's like 75%, but apparently that might be a mistake.
I think it should be.
Not wait. What?
100%.
Wait, your hands are connected and suited.
What's bottom for you, Guapo?
Okay.
So everything pretty standard up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of waiting until the turn or the river to really fuck this one up.
Whoa.
Okay, so you go overbet on
flop. I
decided
to overbet. Now, let me give you a sneak peek into the tortilla brain here.
Okay.
So we have top pair, but I'm a little scared. I don't want to see over cards. I don't want to see a diamond. So I kind of just want to take this hand down now.
Take it down.
And make my life nice and easy.
Why not just go all in?
I guess I could do that too, but a three is a thing.
That seems fine. It's just why so big?
Yeah, just scurred.
Oh, okay.
No, all right. So we get a call. You did tell me that you wanted to deny. There's a lot you want to deny from earlier.
Sure.
Yeah. That's fine. Let's do the whole hand and then we'll discuss.
Right. So we get a call from the big blind. Six of clubs on the turn. We get a check from the big blind. It gets to me, and I decide to check back because a three is a thing. And we get a three of spades on the river.
That's less of a thing.
So we have a full house. Our villain decides to check. And now I feel pretty comfortable betting. I decide to make it very big.
Oh.
And overbet. And he said, eat a dick.
Oh.
And he puts it all in. Now.
He doesn't put it all in.
Well, he's putting me all in, essentially.
No, he's not. Is he? Oh, I guess.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Almost.
He's leaving you bus fare home.
Anyways, back to the hand. I go into the tank, and this is just a fold. It's just a fold always. This is always a three. The only reason you actually get to see a call here is because Connie was over my shoulder watching me play this, and as I turn around to look at Connie, I can just already see that I'm going to get trolled forever.
Absolutely.
You offered me if to I buy this hand.
I even told Connie, I'm like, look, you can buy this hand because I'm going to fold.
Guys, I said no.
And I end up calling, and of course he shows us
the three. Quads. Fine. The king so, three of hearts.
I'm in the muck.
Rappo paid $100 not to be trolled.
I've spent $100 on worse.
The funny, only 85.
The funny part is probably right.
Yeah.
Roll tax.
Landon, what's popping? What you got for us here?
Yeah. So flop is really bad. Here's a legit spot. I'm just gonna run this as hijack versus big blind. I'm sure it's gonna be like small blind call. Shouldn't happen very often with the rake structure, but kind of whatever, I suppose. More so, just worried about how to play this as a single raise pot versus multi-way. And
our sizing strat here.
Quarter. You just go small. And if you're playing multi-way, you're definitely not going to go big. Mm-hmm. Because now, versus instead of one, you're playing versus two. Idea being, like, we don't have that many threes. Our threes are quads or ace three. We're not opening king three suited from the hijack. But the big blind, as we see here, has a bunch of suited threes, right? There's a lot of these hands that are really good that can play pretty aggressively. But they also have a lot of high card nonsense that has to fold versus small. So sure, sometimes they have a three, but most times they don't have a three. So when we go bigger, bigger kind of makes their life easier. We're sure they have some uncomfortable calls, like I'm going to imagine like middly pairs and things like this, if you will. And then maybe some like ace highs with overs, like ace queen that didn't three bet with the ace of diamonds, probably has to peel, but you're not really loving it. So quarter's going to do pretty well in theory. And then you're going to get check raised a good amount. Like a quarter of the time, you're going to get raised and mostly going to be by 3x because you have trips.
This is if I take a theory line, right?
This is if you to go quarter, yeah.
Okay.
So big blind's going to raise pretty aggressively with threes, with some hands that need protection and value. Like jacks in there sometimes, tens in there sometimes, 9x, a lot of scary turns. So like the take it down mentality is going to be something that does make sense. But you take it down for quarter, hoping that they fold all of these three to like non-connected suited hands. Mm-hmm. Like we don't have to overbet to get 10-6 of hearts to fold. You can just go very small, which allows you to be able to call it bluff cheaply.
And if they have diamonds, they're not folding anyways.
Diamonds aren't folding anyways. A nine isn't folding anyways, and a three isn't folding anyways.
Yeah, right. And you're kind of like getting everything worse to fold that size, which is.
And you're getting everything better to call.
Right.
And sure, sometimes, like we'll see here in like the lock sim, where you do get the, if you do play this overbet strategy, it's going to be mostly around your ace three, which you never really have in relation to range. Like there's only two combos. Mm-hmm. And then you have nines that needs protection and value. Or sorry, you need to have tens, jacks, queens. Even nines is like kind of scary to just like start overbetting when you have all of it.
This would be suited king x.
I guess the idea is you get better king highs to fold, ace highs to fold, and you mostly do it if you have no draw, like no suit.
You say nine's kind of scary because you have all of it. What do you mean by that?
Like it's hard to get called when you have three nines.
Yeah.
Like they have a three, you're going to stack them anyways, and if they have a nine, you're going to do well against them anyways, but now you have two of them. Yeah. So how do they have a call? So
the sim that we're looking at right here, Landon, this is the actual line that I
took? This is your line. This is the Guapo special.
Gotcha. I was trying to figure out what the word scary meant.
So like 9-8 here, you don't really want to overbet anymore because of the response of if you get called. Like you're just going to get called by better nines. You're going to get called by some pairs.
You just send them into the funnel to fuck us.
Yeah, like see, like you're sure you're going to get called by like ace queen with a diamond. You're going to get called by like sevens. But also, we're betting 1.25x pot and getting 70% folds.
My instinct was on this flop, was to bet like, you know, somewhere like a catch-all size, like a 66 to 75%. But the sim is saying quarter. So is it, because like, is that because the board is paired? Because I know like nine high, a lot of times like nine high boards, you know, you want to go a little bigger just because certain hands need protections and nine needs protection, tens, jacks, those kind of things.
They do when there's not two threes on the board.
Right. So, So like if it was like 9-3 deuce, then you'd go.
I would go bigger than 66.
And also,
you go like 75.
I go like pot. Maybe.
And also, this is pot? Under the gun versus big blind. So
hijack versus big blind.
Hijack versus big blind. So I'm pretty sure it has a lot to do with that.
So like here's in the sense of, I can just give 3E strat. So this is if you give one size, it likes 40. But if you give two sizes, maybe he chooses over Pat, please. Nope. No, it likes 40. Fuck me. I guess it's because of the three and the deuce, right? Yeah. So with the rake structure and it's not right. MTT.
So if it's like 9-6 deuce, yeah, it might be, you might get like the...
Like 9-6, 9-6-3, like yeah. There's some connectivity. The three and the deuce are so good for the opener because they fold a lot of the deuces and threes pre. Mm-hmm. So now 9-6 deuce, you go big.
Yeah.
Right? So okay. That's the idea.
Right.
Ideas, you want protection and value with mm-hmm. your overpairs, and then... Right.
Not all 9 high boards are created equal, as you can see
here. Right, the connectivity between the 6 and the 9.
Because like my instinct right away was like, I might go 66%, but then like realizing that like...
Also hijack, like button might be different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just
range
more
is
so...
a little different. So.
Range is going to be different, and like more so just in the idea of when it's paired... We don't have a nut advantage anymore where overpairs are great. They're great hands, but when all the money goes in different lines, you're funneling them to having trips, which they have a good amount of the time. So Guapo goes for the overbet. He gets called. And honestly, versus like big bet, outer position can just play like small raise, right? It's just min clicking. Like he goes 8 bigs, you just go 16.2. Because if Guapo has like the high broadways, they just start folding versus min. Mm-hmm. And if you have a 3, you want to keep in all of his overpairs anyways.
Yeah.
So we don't have to go big to really put some
pressure. So I feel like when you get called after that big bet, I feel like probably checking on the turn is probably good, right?
Yeah. I mean,
just because you're once if you go big again, you're really funneling them down to really strong hands.
You've already funneled them on flop.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So now when you go big again, like what can you get called by that's worse?
A 9. Like, and that's why the overpairs here are still going to want to go for bet. And this is kind of the issue with theory and practice sometimes, where when you go for the overbet on flop, we see here that in theory, the big blind's going to play a very aggressive raise with a 3. But in practice, people are probably going to want to slow play more. Mm-hmm. And with the slow play coming in, you're going to be a lot more scared to put in that second bet, where in the machine, all the 3s are kind of gone because they're clicking. So now on the turn, it thinks, okay, if he called, he's mostly just going to have a 9 or 10s and jacks, which my overpairs do better against. Mm-hmm. But like if we were to play a quick game, I kind of like this game, actually. I think this is a good one.
Let's play a game.
Yeah, let's play a game. So let's just say like these mostly call, right? Like let's just say the 3s like mostly call and they don't really play check raise on flop.
If anybody ever said, let's play a game like that to me, I'd think I'm getting murdered.
That's what I'm going to say to the guy marking cards. Yeah. Let's play a game. He's like, oh my God, I'll never do it again. I'm sorry.
Now use cancel.
Sorry, Landon.
No, you're good.
Are you right or left-handed?
All right, so turn 6. They
so
check.
You're forcing Machine here to just call with a 3.
I'm forcing Machine to call with a 3 more often, right? So maybe sometimes they raise, right? A quarter of the time they raise. Okay. Oh, oops. One second, actually.
We're putting him in trap mode.
Yeah, I have to set strategy and remove, like, fold. So, like, call, raise, and then fold being 0. There we go. Because it was mixing folds. And, like, that's not...
With 3s?
Yeah. Well, that was on me. That was my fault.
Quads to be balanced.
It's just sometimes you just fold the 3.
It reminds me of, like, the...
You don't have the ace kicker, so it's...
The strategy, like, the fake strategy videos from, like, Full Tilt. Or like
balance your folding range.
Yeah, or like min, start min clicking or whatever.
Like folding aces pre-flop.
Right. So big one call, turn 6 of clubs.
So I assume this is just going to be a lot of check here.
Yeah, there's going to be more check, right? Like 9-8 for you is going to check.
He just has way more threes in range.
Yeah, and then you still want to bet your overpairs because you get called by a 9, which is still going to happen. Mm-hmm. Getting raised is going to be relatively annoying, but once again, like the slow play is going to come in. You can't just raise a 3 on the turn and call with the 9 because now you're going to be pretty capped. And like versus our line, even jack 9, 10-9 for big blind is... allowed to fold because you're just putting in so much money. So we check back. River, what was it? Three of the clubs.
Can I get a little acknowledgement for playing the turn like a genius?
Yep. For the turn, you can put the wizard check mark up. Thank you. Just for the turn.
You got scared for good reason. So River, big blind. They do get to play some jams. Not really. Like 4x pot jam because they have a 3 that they didn't check raise.
What, are they only doing that with 3s and overpairs?
No, they have to
what
have
what bluff
blocks.
Is they do? Are Maybe they some... jamming with? Is it the king jack suited? It looks like
jack 7.
Jack seven.
King jack. Yeah, like blocking some over pairs to check back. But mostly,
Miss Diamond draws, it looks
like. Yeah,
some flush ones. Draws that's are like going to bluff for smaller. But this is kind of why you need to raise the three on flop versus the overbet. Otherwise, turn goes check, check too much, and you don't get all the money.
Mm-hmm. And this is from the villain's point of view, right?
Correct. Yes. This is a villain if they play traps too much with 3X.
And now they have you 400%ing the river.
A little bit, right? Because they need if they have a three, you don't.
Yeah.
But this is why like check raise needs to happen. Like, otherwise, you get turn check back so much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for Guapo's fear check reasonings, which theoretically makes sense because you put too many chips in the pot.
Wait, this is with the, like... weird locked sim, right?
This is just locking a three to trap.
Okay.
Yeah, this is just like threes trapping more, which I think is going to happen in practice when it's like, oh, they bet so big, like I want them to keep betting versus I don't want to raise and get value for my hand.
I'd probably do that too. I'm like, what the hell is this guy overbetting with? I'll just call.
Right.
Thanks for that.
So now when he checks and we have 8-9, like we can still go for value, but the size is going to be like 67%, like the catch-all size. Because you still want to get called by the middling pairs that called the flop, like sevens, like some ace highs, I imagine, too. Like ace of diamonds, queen still might have to bluff catch because we still have some of these hands in range that, like king seven, king five, and they can still reopen with a three. So we have to be concerned about that.
What does my specific hand want to do?
Your specific hand wants to value bet for 67%. Overbets losing EV, but winning more than check because you might get called sometimes by like pocket sevens or like ace highs. So we can give you, you went like 125. Let's take away. So if you give 125 a check, I would guess 9/8 checks more. Just bets. Yeah, it's like not, check is worth, it's funny. Check is worth, no, it's not worth more. So you just overbet, but your range is kind of butchered. Like you have king jack as a bluff, you have king seven. So we go for bet, and three is going to raise every time. And now, like, calling is, like, quote-unquote allowed, but the bluffs that you're going to see here are going to be relatively hard to come by. I assume, like, the bluffs are going to come from high card, like, ace of diamonds, jack, that doesn't bluff catch you, decides to jam. And this is kind of the only bluff that seems to be in range, like, ace, jack, and diamonds, because they block jacks for you, which is a very big hand, kind of hard to get much from the noise. But idea being, the bluff here needs to come from a hand that might just bluff catch itself.
Alright.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, if I had look at a hand like ace, queen, or ace, jack, I'm like, okay, this guy either has a good hand, like an overpair, or potentially a nine, or he's bluffing with, like, queen, jack, jack, ten, king, jack, king, ten. So why do I need to turn my hand into a bluff? Versus the, oh, like, I'm gonna overbet. I'm going to bluff over the overbet with ace jack high because now he's going to start mixing folds with
nine.
An overpair.
Or an overpair, yeah.
You know?
Right.
So it's going to be very, like jacks here actually gets to fold for the in-position player, which is why you want to use the jack to bluff to block
so
the
So I was
calls.
Correct in wanting to fold the 8-9.
It's indifferent, yeah. You're allowed to fold because bluffs are hard to come by. And I think in practice, it's probably just a pure fold.
Right.
Because it's you're winning so little in a balanced line with such a low amount of bluffs to exist anyways.
Right. Rob was straight coping. He acts like somebody put a gun to his head to hit the call button over here. Like, guy fucking clicked the button over his, like, hey, Grapple, out of my way, call.
Listen, if you weren't standing, if you were not standing over his shoulder, he folds that 100%.
He folds free. When you're not standing over, he's folding free if you're not there.
Oh, you're right. You're right. No, no. I think you're absolutely right there.
That's right. He's like, I open it sometimes.
Yeah, I open it sometimes. Like
when somebody's there,
when someone's in front, when someone's over my shoulder, I open it. When someone's not, I just go ahead and fold.
I think this is kind of like an overarching in the mux, like mental leak, I suppose, when it comes to choosing sizes that gives you the win now. Mm-hmm. You know, like there was a lot of this mentality of, okay, if
you talked
I bet
about that
big
earlier this week,
this lets me win, but it doesn't mean I win the most money.
It's also like, where is that coming from? Is it coming from a place of fear? If so,
sure.
Like probably not the highest EV. Mm-hmm. Like if you're deciding from fear, like you should be thinking about what parts of their range that are worse than yours can you get called by, like, you know, how are you funneling their range, instead of like, I'm afraid of what happens if this hand continues.
Yeah, like you don't know you're getting check raised until they check raise you.
Yeah.
How often does it call when we go through a normal line? Like, say we bet 20% on flop.
Okay, so yeah, let's look at that.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious, because I think it'd be way more.
My guess would be it's still going to be indifferent.
Okay.
I would say still indifferent.
I have a feeling it would call, or I thought we would call more, just because when we overbet flop, it funnels them into threes only. But this way, they can actually still have, like, shitty nines, I guess, and, like,
just... Well, think about it, right? Does a nine versus a relatively uncapped hijack range go for a river check raise?
I mean... I've seen it done before, but no.
But does it make it good?
No, it does not.
No.
Right, so his reopen range versus river that jams is probably still going to be a three or nothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, we're probably going to be indifferent because the nine is nice. Like, we block nines full, and we unblock some theoretical bluffs. But at the same time, his range is still going to be three or not three. And yeah. Sure, you might have, like, sixes or whatever that, like, turns a boat, but
yeah.
You get the point. So, like, bet, check, call. Some queens are some threes are still trapping for him as the out of position player. But once again, just going for small raise to fuck up the hijacks, high cards that don't connect. So big one call, turn six. I would imagine the turn is going to be relatively polar for the hijack. Yeah, like pot's a big size. Like, it's not going to be geometric two because the big blind can have a three. So mm-hmm. just like funneling in 2x pot is going to be a little bit dangerous.
Yeah.
And we want to protect our range of pot. Like, we want to protect our overpairs by also having ace three. Where so, if we say, okay, let's 2e a three because we have it, we're never going to have a three if we go pot, if we split sizes. So, like, we'll still have the hands that need the most protection and value. Aces being a nice check back because you block their ace highs. More likely they are going to have a hand that bluffs mm-hmm. the river.
Yep.
Or the river's clean and they bet small and you raise. So aces are nice traps, kings are nice traps, but tens you never trap.
This particular hand just checked pure.
All of our overs that we still have that we bet flop, we just continue betting for the most part.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. I guess because they can make ace highs fold.
Yeah.
Yep, you get ace highs to fold. You want to have some suit connectivity, though, like you see here, king 10 with a diamond for mm-hmm. the most part.
Go to jack 10.
Jack 10, you're going to want to have...
Diamond?
Jack 10, you actually check back with the jack of diamonds because, like, some of the lightest floats contain the jack of diamonds.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
So this is, like, machine fuckery, but that stuff's not necessarily too important. So let's say we check back and the river's a three, right? So now when out of position has a three, they can't jam for 15x pot as much as they probably would like to.
Mm-hmm.
So they do get to play some checks on the river to try to check go for it, because the hijack reopen is going to be like the aces that check back still has to bet.
Mm-hmm.
So their size is still going to be big, and then you can aggress with the polar action. So then they check. We still have two sizes. Like, we have the size that our overpairs want to bet, and then we have the size that our nine wants to bet, and then you kind of put both in both sizes not to get messed up too bad. So let's say we just go for the pot size bet, and they have a three. Like, now they can call it aggress heavy, mm-hmm. like low frequency, like jam, but jam is kind of an option. And now you kind of give yourself a chance to fold more because they're jamming for 4.5x pot.
Right. Such a big jam.
Correct. It's a huge jam. So, like, now you have 9-8. Like, you're still indifferent, and you can still call, but, like, aces are indifferent.
Right, but you only call 12% of the time.
And you're doing this just so when you get here combinatorically, you're mm-hmm. protected.
Yeah.
The idea being you don't want to pure call aces and then, like, fold 9-8, because if you have 9-8, you fold it, and then you have aces, you always call. Mm-hmm. And if the machine knew that, it would take advantage of it based off of blocking properties. So, in practice... It's not that important. More so, know that your hand is still indifferent, and you don't have to call because you're going to see what you expect to see. A three or nothing. So I think it's just going to be a worse call in practice, probably, because mm-hmm. a huge jam like this is either going to be overbluffed or underbluffed massively. There's no in between. You know, like someone that is in the big blind that's like a thinking player is going to say, I have more threes than him. He has more overpairs, and he's going to fold them. Or it's going to be like, this guy has an overpair. He's never going to fold, so I'm only going to have a three.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of, like, knowing a player profile in that case.
Nice. Nice breakdown, Landon. Thank you.
You're welcome. Long story short, versus the machine, 50-50 it.
Mm-hmm.
Versus...
Give him tougher decisions on the flop.
Versus Joe from Poughkeepsie.
Mm-hmm.
Poughkeepsie.
I really do think the biggest mistake is the flop.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
it is.
For right, sure. Yeah, because then it just leads you down this path of, you know... Where he's just
it's
like
just like a non-hand.
And he's just like his range is so narrowed, and you didn't give him any tough decisions, and now he just ends up with the three.
I do think it's like a common in the muck thing, though. Like,
oh, for
it's
sure,
just fear.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
letting fear dictate your decisions instead of like strategy.
Mm-hmm. People do that all the time. I see them make these like crazy bets on the flop, and like it's just not a thing. And it's like, I'm just happy to take it down right now. Right. I'm just happy.
That was my mentality as well.
Yeah.
You just
make your opponent's life so easy. You don't want to do that.
Yeah. I saw a reel the other day where it was like a 3-bet pot, maybe like, I don't know, 200 something in the middle or something like that. And the board just comes like 9-7-3. And this guy's like, I'm all in. He's at no less than $700-$800. Yeah, I laughed so hard at this shit. Meanwhile, the kid that's filming it is like, cuh. Mm-hmm. He just has like top set or something like that. It was just like,
oh my God.
And it was just like, wow. That was quite interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So sometimes, like, Wolfgang, shout out to Wolfgang.
Oh, it was him, I think.
He posted some reels, and I saw one where it was like a limped pot where someone limped pre. It goes like five ways. Board comes 6-5-5, checks to some guy that limped, and the guy just jammed.
That's this hand. Sorry, he has sixes.
It's like infinite X the pot. Alex calls, has boat. Uh-huh. This guy has aces. And it's like, oh man, like that's a bad beat. It's like you literally only put yourself in a spot to get called by a better hand than your hand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you did this to yourself.
Well, and if you're making your opponent's decision easy, you're doing something wrong. Like, you should want to be making them indifferent.
Yeah, indifferent is very annoying.
As much as you can. Yeah.
Indifferent's extremely annoying, right? Because, like, that's why jam.
You want to mentally exhaust them by putting them in a state of indifference.
Yeah. People will say something like, they'll make a huge bet on the flop. Like, I'm not letting the flush draw get there.
Right.
Like, well, you don't get to make that decision. Like, if I have a flush draw, I'm still calling you.
Yeah, it just makes your opponent's decision really easy.
Yeah, and exactly.
You're focusing on your own feelings instead of...
Right.
Quite honestly, this is going to make you a little bit more upset, because if I do have a flush draw, I'm just going to look at you.
We're all in, baby.
I'm going to laugh. And I'm going to say, I'm about to fuck you. And then I'm going to drill it.
Like, I have enough equity. I'm all in. Yeah.
You're really just pissing yourself off here, man. I have like 8-7 of diamonds or 9-8 of diamonds. I'm like, oh, I can hit a 7. I'm good.
Like, the fact that you don't want me to call, it makes me want to call more and suck out on you.
Right. Yeah, like, I'm in there. High five. All right, let's jump into the next section. We got a little Am I the Asshole? Mm. Melissa, can you break them down for us?
Sure.
Sorry, I marked a card.
Can I open them on my own?
Yeah, it's probably best. I'll read the first one just so we can get it going.
It's up on here now. I can read it.
This is what's the most reliable poker tell. This is
what
almost
is the most reliable poker tell you pick up on from Froggy Blogs.
Shout out, Froggy Blogs.
Shout out. I rarely ever use live tells, but the one that works a good amount is if an opponent bets two streets and both bets are the same size or just about the same size. Seems like it's always indicative of a draw. Same goes for leading out small.
Well, this isn't Am I the Asshole, but you are an asshole. So let's just break this down real quick.
Wait, yeah. I guess it's not. What's
your most reliable tell there, Melissa?
I can't say that.
Yeah.
Say
that on the air?
Just
take my wallet. Yeah. Take my money and just have it.
Like. I have a few that are pretty
based.
I have a pretty good sample size on. Mm-hmm. As much as you can in a live tell thing, but they're in the streets. It's not like when people are staring you down pre-flop. Like,
right.
Stop that.
You know, but I would say in low stakes, this happens a lot, and it doesn't mean they have a draw. It doesn't mean they have, like, it just happens. People just bet the same amount all the fucking time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's just like,
limit.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
say, like 20 on the flop, 20 on the turn, 20 on the river.
And, well, it might just go up to like 50. It might go up to 50 on the river or something like that. And you're just looking at yourself like, God damn,
you're
fucking
like
20, half pot.
30, 40.
Yeah, like, it's like, oh, fuck. Oh, I have to call quarter pot now. What do I do? I guess I call whatever. Yeah. I lose.
You're kind of
they
see
always
that a
have
lot, actually.
They always have. They in those situations are like never bluffing.
Would like, you say, Alan? Sorry.
Well, I just mean like there's a lot of times where people will increase their bets by a little bit, and because their bet is bigger number wise, they think it's scarier.
Right.
But in reality, it's less percent of the pot than the bet before.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll
that
be like pot on the flop, and then it'll be 50% on the turn, it'll be quarter on the river. But it goes.
But each number goes up.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, this is how it is.
This is a big bet.
I used to do that on Zynga when I was grinding Zynga.
Grinding Zynga.
It's quite funny because the second part of this, he says, same goes out for leading out small. And I kind of actually agree with him for the most part. Yeah. Just because, like, the way that, like, the turn leads or leads in general happen, people are trying to buy a cheaper pot, it feels
like. Yeah, that
like.
Happens a lot.
Like, when it comes leads, like lower
small
stakes.
On ones that mm-hmm. are not their board, I just raise.
Yeah, I feel like they're just buying, trying to buy cheaper flops, or they have the fucking absolute nuts.
Yeah.
So, like,
well,
I,
we're going to find out. I'm going to raise and we'll find out.
Yeah, that's true.
Usually yeah. it goes raise, they call, they check turn. Like, maybe it goes check, check. And then they, like, maybe block river. And then you, like, call and they're like, I had a draw. It's like something stupid like that.
Yeah. Or they when they do it on the turn, like, they call the flop and then they lead. And then, like, the turn's like a brick. And then they lead, like, really small, just yeah. trying, just hoping to slow you down. So then right. they can see the river for very, very cheap, like 10% of the
yeah,
pot.
Yeah, it's a very, like, defensive betting.
Yeah.
Tortoise yeah, Landon, do you guys have any live tells that you'd like to?
Not that I'd like to tell.
Oh. No. I don't play much live poker.
No. Yeah, there's not. I mean, there's a lot of just, like...
I think there's a lot with, like, where eyes are looking.
I have a laundry list of them, but it's nothing I can just, like, point out and say. It's nothing like I can like definitively yeah. just sit here and say this is one of them.
When you say
when
you say like eyes are looking like give an example of that or anything you want to say.
If I look to my left, so to
like,
the top.
When they look so at their like, chips, right?
Well, yeah, but so I'll just say one that I think is like
for
pretty,
the people.
Yeah, I'll give one for the people where let's say like you bet turn and they call, their eyes are like locked in on where like the river is coming out, like they have like a flush draw or straight draw.
Oh yeah,
because
okay.
they're like you know,
waiting for it.
Yeah, like it's like they're like locked mm-hmm. in on it, and then like if it bricks out, it's like pretty easy to like bluff catch or whatever. Because mm-hmm. sometimes they'll just like lead and
yeah, run. Yeah.
I feel like an easy one is the pump fake, like where you go to bet.
Oh.
And you see someone grab their chips, oh, that, like they're going to get ready.
I was
to,
actually
like,
going to say
yeah,
that
to
yeah.
either
yeah.
call you or to raise you. Mm-hmm. I feel like I always make my bets even yep. bigger when.
Yeah, it's like a defensive thing. They like, yeah. don't want you to bet.
They
yeah.
do that. They do that when it's their turn too. They'll like grab chips and then they'll like put their hands on the chips and they'll go check. And it's just like, all right, pot. It's just like, well, all right, I bet.
Pot. That's pretty small.
It probably works on yeah. some people 2X where pot. They're like, right. oh, they were yeah, about to bet. Enough. Like it probably works enough for them that.
I started looking around. I'm like, does yeah. anybody have any money I can borrow? Because I'm
works.
All in.
It's funny because it works against the same people that do the same thing.
Yes,
you think
exactly.
it wouldn't because they do it,
right?
But it works against
it
the
does,
other people
yeah.
that do it.
Yeah.
It's more like the psychological, like, if you put money in, I'm definitely putting money in
yeah.
with you.
Yeah. Right.
Where in reality,
right.
it's
bet.
Like,
don't bet because I'm going to call you. Like,
uh-huh. bet, so you okay, better fuck, fold.
Yeah. And then when you bet, they're like, well, they must have it because they saw that I was about
right,
to call
exactly.
them. So they, I guess I have to fold now.
This must be really strong.
All right, so Froggy Poker, you are an asshole, even though you weren't on
Am
I the Asshole.
Froggy.
He wasn't on the Am I the Asshole list, but, you know, he's there.
Here we go.
Okay, here's one. This is interesting. Am I the asshole if I don't want to share a poker bankroll with my spouse? My partner is sharing my PokerStars account, playing when I'm not playing. Thing is, they lose a lot more often than I do, and I'm really trying to build my bankroll. I've asked them to play on their own account gently many times, but when it came down to it, they took offense because eventually I had to say that they're losing the money more often, and I'm really trying to build my own bankroll. I really want to see how well I can do, and I think I can do okay, but it's difficult when I spend 2 hours making money to sign back in and find the money gone again. Sometimes they will win, but not as often or as inconsistently as me. So am I the asshole here?
Okay, first of all...
You are definitely not an asshole.
First of all...
Blabble has strong feelings
not,
here.
Well, the thing is... You're not allowed to play on the same account.
Yeah. yeah.
That is
first
already
of all,
you're
breaking
the cheating.
First of all, is this Ali? Yeah.
It's like one of my horses is playing on my account and
yeah.
losing.
So you're both assholes for sharing an account. First of all.
He kinda gets off here. He doesn't even have to like say anything except, babe. We can't cheat anymore.
Yeah, that's actually a really easy
there you
out.
Go,
literally,
right.
babe, I've been watching the OnlyFriends podcast.
Yeah, I don't want to get... we're going to get banned. We're going to yeah. lock our money up.
Melissa's going to take our fingers away.
Yeah.
I'm there behind their computer.
You
like.
Literally have to tell her that you've just been watching the OnlyFriends podcast and you don't want to be labeled as a cheater.
That's right.
Because you will be put on the OnlyFriends podcast
but
for cheating.
But what do you... But yeah, so he should do that. But what would you do... How would you approach this in a relationship sense?
It's tough, I guess, yeah.
Is it? You can just be pretty based about it, right?
You could, yeah, sure, you could, but like, not everyone's going to take it well.
Right. I think you can just, like, make, kind of try to make an account for them or, like, with them. And then, like,
it sounds like they have an account.
I don't think they do because they don't want to use the extra account.
They want to use the account with money in it.
Yeah, they want the account with money in it. They're like, I ran out. I got to use the other one.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's just like, we can't be doing this, you know? Can't be doing it.
You just say that.
Yeah. It's like, well, it's like, look, like, I'm, can't be doing this. It's almost like kind of nicer if like you kind of like transfer them a small amount of the money. Right? Like, let's say you win $10 and they like lose it all. And it's like, I'm going to give you $2.
Right.
Like you go, you go you get on your account. And then when you win, you get to keep it all. And if you lose, you know, like we can reconvene when you get your $2 again.
Yeah.
Honey, we're down bad. We got to do something here. We're down bad.
We're going to make it out of the micros if you keep torching my bankroll.
Like, I really want to see how well I'm doing. But every time I log in, my account's at zero.
That sounded like a micros.
Imagine he's playing like he or she is. They're playing cash games and they know when the other account is on. Or it's like,
oh my God.
This person's open jamming. They used to not do that. This must be somebody else.
The guy's like drunk sometimes.
You just create like some type of bot or something that just pops up a pop-up message when your wife signs in. This account has been suspended.
Yeah, I mean maybe like, or you could get her into something else, like
play a different game,
like roulette.
Oh, sounds like she might be losing less in slots.
Like slots. Yeah.
Wait, why are we assuming it's the woman?
We're not.
Yeah.
Woman, man, depends.
I am assuming that.
Wow.
God. Are you the asshole?
Well, no.
Are you the asshole for assuming
statistically
that?
That's kind of
all right. Let's stay on brand. We'll do one more here.
Whoa. Recently, a girl got. Oh, okay. Never mind. I'm reading the wrong one.
Excellent announcement.
I was reading the wrong. Am I the asshole? I thought it said it in the whatever. Go on.
Am I the asshole for playing poker as a part-time job in secret because my girlfriend hates it? Oh my God. And it's just this asshole. So, long story short, I've been playing poker semi-professionally for the better part of 6 to 7 years. Make close to $30,000 per year playing 3-5 and 5-10, no limit, part-time on the weekends for a few hours after work. About 15 to 20 hours a week is, on average, what I play at the card room and private home games. Basically, work to poker to spend time with GF, sleep, repeat. I make $65,000 a year at my main job, so this has been a pretty significant source of income to me over the years. Been with my girlfriend for about 2 years now, love her to death, but she's never been supportive of me playing poker. She thinks I'm just mindlessly gambling, which couldn't be farther from the truth.
Can we just stop here and just tell her? just dump her, dude.
Part of it is I think that her father was a degenerate gambler and caused financial hardship during her youth. I've tried explaining to her that the deeper math strategy behind the game, but she just shuts me out immediately. I've tried comparing it to other zero-sum winner-loser games, but she won't buy it. Told her in poker you don't play against the house and instead play against imperfect human beings that make mistakes all the time that you can capitalize on to make a profit. She doesn't care. Yeah, well, she's probably like, that's boring as hell. It's a very boring explanation. In her eyes, instead of spending time with her, I'm just gambling like a loser. She knows I make consistent, well, relatively speaking, as there are periods of variance, profits over the long term, but she's convinced I'm just getting lucky and will one day lose it all, which makes no sense at all. I mean, you could, but logic is not her strong suit. Okay, Jesus. Rude.
Okay, just have her read this and then you won't have a problem anymore.
Yeah, have her read this and then she'll leave you. Leave your asshole ass, which makes no sense at all. But logic is not her strong suit when it comes to this topic, apparently. Rude. She gave an ultimatum to stop or we break up. Wanting to keep both, I sort of lied to her and keep playing. Rude. I've been playing after work and not telling her, then sneaking in a 4 to 5 hour session on Saturdays and sometimes Sundays. Told her I was with friends or working late. Rude and lying. She got suspicious one day and went to the card room near us last Saturday and found me there. Bro. She cried when she saw me, left, and hasn't spoken to me since. Bruh, feel like an asshole, but also think she's being unreasonable about my basically second job.
I mean,
love
is
everything
he watch
about
Rounders?
Her except for this one thing.
Is he watch Rounders? This is like what happened in Rounders, right?
In the poker game of life.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I mean, okay. When she pops up on you, you know, that's some
Listen,
shit,
he's
babe.
Definitely an asshole for, you know, lying to her, playing behind her back, doing all these things. Listen, you should just you've had the conversation, then you have to let her know, like, I'm going to keep playing or not like so it's you guys got like you have to decide like
he's
if she's like
chosen right
well he like he's chosen to play well like he wants he wants his cake and eat it too, yes. right? So like she doesn't want him to play. So then he has to decide whether he wants to play like, or to be with his girlfriend. But yeah. it doesn't sound like he can have both. So. Right.
Well, it's kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy because he's like, I'm not a degenerate, you know, I'm not addicted to this. But then he's like sneaking off for his little crack session.
Right, yeah.
But he's
yeah,
also exactly. making, of course, he's also making look worse money. To her. When he's also said he makes 65K a year.
I would say, like, whenever
65 in his real job.
That's his real job. Yeah. He didn't say how much he made.
No,
like,
I'm just saying
right?
in general. He said like, he's supplementing income using this.
I would yeah. say, like, you know, when you have winning sessions, just get her a little.
Just buy her some nice stuff. Yeah, you know, yeah.
But, get her a little.
It's cutting into profits, though. I mean, come on.
I don't care. Like, women are the rake. You know this.
Right? No, I mean, nah, he's an asshole for sure. Like, yeah. it's not close.
Well, because he's lying. Mm-hmm.
Well, like, she right. gave the ultimatum, and then he said, okay, I'll give it up, and then lied. Yeah. Where in yeah. reality, it's
well,
like...
hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
How
this isn't fair.
Hold on a second.
How this isn't fair.
How is she not the asshole for giving oh. him... for? Giving him the ultimatum.
Well, the question wasn't whether
he's supplementing
she's an asshole
his income
or not.
Because this, she's allowed to feel how she yeah. wants. Whether like, it's a, that, whether it's logical
giving
or
an
not.
Ultimatum.
Yeah. yeah, I mean, like, it's I not reasonable in the sense of I expect.
If he was in the pits, degenning like and just losing a shit ton of money,
but
I think
to
that
her, it's the same thing. Like right. she sees it as the right. same thing.
But she's wrong.
That's,
well, it doesn't
being serious. Like she is wrong.
So
though.
Basically, correct. She's an asshole on a different level, but that's not the question.
She's not an asshole. She just
no,
doesn't
she
understand
is.
How
that, well,
poker
that's
works.
Just what
she's
but
an asshole for giving the ultimatum.
She's an asshole.
That's
the argument.
That's my argument.
I don't think so. I think she's allowed to do what she wants.
I think she can say like, you know, this isn't what I want, and like. If it's going to continue, then I'll leave. I think that's fair. Like, and then she'll just find someone who doesn't play poker.
Agree. Hard
so,
agree.
So if he was driving Ubers on the weekends and supplementing his income by 30K every year, and she gave him an ultimatum for driving Ubers, would we be having this conversation?
But that's different because Uber
it's
is
not,
guaranteed
it's different
money.
Because, it's not because different. She doesn't have like a traumatic past with Uber drivers.
Yeah, and how is it? Yeah, and how is it not different? Driving Uber is guaranteed money, and poker is not.
There's
yeah.
a difference between the like the perceived fear yeah. of inconsistency when it comes
right.
to
right.
poker. Like
sure.
in Uber driving, right? There is not a percent chance you're going to. Bet on black and lose all of the Uber
right.
money.
It's
right?
like, mm-hmm. oh, at the end of the week, I'm going to go red or black with my yeah. earnings.
The issue is the stigma of how variance in gambling works.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's not, you can try to explain it, but if someone says, hey, like, I don't like this, that's their prerogative.
Yeah.
And the thing is, he is.
She didn't sign up to be with
right.
a poker player.
I mean, he said he's a winning player. Maybe he is. Maybe he won. But that's what he did in the past, and the game gets tougher, it changes, and, you know, like, things can happen. So it's like, what he's doing is definitely not guaranteed.
Yeah. Shout out to Lee Jones. He says, her feelings are her feelings. They are not right or wrong. Which is true, you know?
Yeah. You're entitled to your feelings, and it's just like, are
I
you going to make
the
it work
ultimatum
or not?
Part that,
I think that this
me.
Is just like, yeah. they seem like they're not
yeah.
compatible.
Right,
like,
exactly.
he wants to it's play poker,
so
and she doesn't want to be with someone who plays poker.
Right.
It's so weird because,
very
like,
simple.
That doesn't, yeah. That's so far from the, like, that's just one thing that somebody does in their life, and like, that doesn't mess with compatibility.
It is, like, their
two.
Lifestyles aren't
it might,
compatible.
You know,
right.
like, you never know how someone, like, deals with losing, you know, uh-huh. and then that can mm-hmm. go into other aspects of personal life.
From,
and,
but from this guy, I mean, for what it's worth, from this paragraph excerpt, it doesn't seem that way. Like, it doesn't lead you on to, like, any, like, there's issues.
We don't
making
know.
Money.
But your lifestyle and your vocations are like part of you, and that matches with like compatibility with someone else. So like, if I don't want to date a firefighter and someone's a firefighter,
they're secretly
we're not
firefighting.
They're secretly firefighting on the weekends.
You're like,
they're sneaking
here
off
for the zip line.
They're sneaking right. off to volunteer firefighter.
Well,
then we're gonna have a problem.
It's also a very dangerous job,
yeah,
and like you know,
exactly.
maybe you don't want to be with somebody that could like you know.
Right.
God forbid
maybe
something happens.
Maybe I'm scared of
yeah.
loss and I don't want to lose.
Over it.
Yeah, he's like,
I'll show you. Here's the ultimatum.
I don't like this.
You
we're going to get off this topic.
And Guapo, did you post this?
This is Guapo. Yeah,
this is Guapo.
Thank you, everybody, for rocking with us. We have another Academy coming up May 23rd.
May 23rd to the 25th is the Cash Game Academy. We have a few seats left. And then we also have an MTT Academy May 27th. To the 30th, you can go to academy.sulfury.io to get a seat before they're all gone.
Hop on over there, get your seat. Berkey will be back tomorrow, unless he gets a seat at the Blasio, who knows, or he's fucking doing something. Who knows what the guy does? Probably like swimming laps in the pool or in the sauna or something. Firefighting. Who knows? Anyway, thanks for rocking with us. Love you. I'll see you tomorrow.
Peace.
Peace.